Hello, and welcome to the BNP Paribas Asset Management Talking Heads podcast. Every week, Talking Heads will bring you in-depth insights and analysis on the topics that really matter to investors. In this episode, we'll be discussing US small cap stocks and recent developments in the sector. I'm Andrew Craig, co-head of the Investment Insights Center, and I'm joined today by Jeff Daly, head of US equities in our Boston office. Welcome, Jeff, and thanks for joining me.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you for having me today.
Now, Jeff, although US small cap stocks joined the extraordinary rally in the last quarter of 2023, many small caps were still trading at a significant discount to their larger company counterparts at the start of 2024. Here we are now in the final weeks of the first quarter of 2024. Can you talk us through your current view on the asset class, please?
Yes, small caps remain an attractive asset class. Valuations for small caps are compelling. As you said, versus large caps, the valuation argument is glaring. On a price-to-earnings basis, the small cap Russell 2000 index is trading at 65% of the large cap Russell 1000 index, and that compares to a long-term average of just under 100%. So clearly a material relative undervaluation versus history. We don't even have to close that gap entirely to see strong relative performance from small caps. On an absolute basis, the Russell 2000 is still trading at a discount to history, but multiples have improved since the depths of last year. Late last year, it got very cheap, but I think it's important to note that while valuation is one element of the small cap bull story, I think the more critical factor at this juncture are the catalysts that could unlock that valuation discount. And I think we have a better line of sight to those catalysts than we've had in a while. The first one is a Fed policy and rates. Quite simply, easing cycles typically benefit small caps and hiking cycles typically hurt. The market's currently calling for between 2 and 4 cuts this year. Macro data points could clearly push that back a little bit in terms of timing, or Fed cuts could go from 4 to 2. But our base case is we're much closer to a Fed cut than a Fed hike, and that's good for small caps. The other catalyst is the resilience of the U.S. economy. Investors have been avoiding small caps given a fear of a recession, but the economic data has just been very resilient and robust, and we don't see any signs of that changing. The consumer is relatively healthy. They're employed. They have savings. Wages are going up, and consumer confidence has been rising. All that allows the consumer to spend and pay their bills. On the corporate side, corporate balance sheets are in solid shape. CEO confidence is improving. In fact, in February, for the first time in 2 years, CEO optimism outweighed pessimism. And this is a nice leading indicator that companies will reinitiate halted capital spending plans and start investing for growth again. This would be good for both the economy and a driver for our small caps, given the domestic orientation. Another one is that the combination of the lower rates that we expect, boardroom optimism and economic stability, they're also leading indicators for a more vibrant M&A environment. M&A has been particularly soft last couple of years due to tighter financial conditions and economic uncertainty. And we think there's a high probability that this reverses, particularly with a healthy pipeline of deals that CEOs have lined up for strategic reasons. And M&A is always a nice tailwind for small caps, supports valuations, and opens up the opportunities for high premium takeouts in the portfolio. So while we're not completely out of the woods yet, we still have our eye on inflation. We still have our eye on economic data. Overall, we have a positive view on small caps. I think it's a nice time where we have actually a combination of valuation, the macro, and underlying fundamentals all appear to be coming together positively at the same time.
Okay, Jeff. Well, thank you. That gives us a good understanding of the general environment. I mean, within the US small cap sector, are there particular sectors or industries where you're finding particularly compelling idiosyncratic stock ideas?
We're really finding compelling ideas across sectors. One segment of the market where we continue to find particularly compelling risk-adjusted returns is in small cap innovative healthcare companies. And that can be either med tech companies or biotech companies. This is a segment of the market that was under significant pressure in 23, given the higher rates, tighter financing markets, and generally just poor sentiment to risk assets. So it was tough in 2023 until late in the year. Similar to small caps more broadly, they did rally a bit as the pressure eased, and the group has started working a little bit of late, but we still think there's material scope for re-rating of these innovative healthcare companies. stocks still undervalued versus history on a multiple basis, and short interest in the names, particularly biotech, is reaching a peak again. So there's clearly still a lot of negative sentiment from the investment community, which we think could very easily turn more positive and push these stocks higher again. On the fundamental front, companies just continue to innovate. They're solving for unmet clinical needs in large addressable markets. On the med tech side, utilization trends are strong. On the biotech side, the regulatory backdrop for drug approvals is accommodative. So fundamentals are solid, valuations are solid. We have a positive outlook there. The other piece that's interesting for innovative healthcare companies is that they're ripe for mergers and acquisitions. Large pharmaceutical companies have lots of cash. They face patent cliffs on their drugs. So they'll be acquiring small caps to backfill that drug pipeline. And they often do it with big takeout premiums. So we're hopeful to see a rebound, healthy rebound in M&A activity, both for small caps and innovative healthcare companies in 24 and 25.
Jeff, you've mentioned innovation, and there's been a lot of excitement in this first quarter of 2024 around artificial intelligence in select large cap tech names. Are you finding similarly exciting small cap names that will benefit from artificial intelligence?
Definitely. AI is a theme that has far-reaching implications on the investment side, and it's not just about large cap. We're seeing opportunities today where small caps are already benefiting from AI. We also have those companies that we believe down the road will harness AI to improve their positioning. So there's clearly relevance in small cap today on the AI side and ways to play it. I can touch on a few of those ways that we're playing it. One that is differentiated a little bit because it's not even a technology company is an alternative asset manager we own. This alternative asset manager focuses on investing in digital infrastructure like data centers, fiber, and cell towers. So it's an asset-light way of playing the massive investment cycle needed in digital infrastructure to support AI growth. So very exciting opportunity, a very differentiated way to play AI. Another one is a security software firm with a leading position in identity management. So generative AI will increase the number and complexity of cyber threats to both enterprise and governments, clearly. In turn, this cybersecurity firm is deploying their own AI to enhance its security protection products to combat these threats. Another play on it is an optical networking company that we have that has multiple AI applications. Very succinctly, as AI usage increases, we'll need more bandwidth to move data from the data centers for training and inference. And this company's products help increase that bandwidth. The last one I'll touch on is a storage play, a company that provides all-flash storage systems, both hardware and software, and they really improve the speed and efficiency of data storage. And this company's products are already used in a major tech company's AI supercomputer, and we think they have the potential to be put in more cloud service companies' AI applications. So just a huge runway of growth. So definitely ways to play AI in small cap, and there'll be even more ways to play it in the future.
That's interesting. It's clearly a time of extensive change, and with these new technologies disrupting the conventional economic model. Perhaps just to close with, there has been quite a lot of consternation in markets about the small regional banks in the U.S., in 2023, we had liquidity stress, and there's a lot of talk about the elevated exposure of some of the smaller regional U.S. banks to commercial real estate. What are your views on this segment of the market? Have those worries gone away, or is it still something to be taken into account potentially?
Yeah, it is true. Small cap banks have more exposure to commercial real estate than their larger peers. Commercial real estate credits are clearly a tail risk that we continue to monitor. And the probability of that tail risk becoming a reality gets higher if the Fed is still in the midst of a hiking cycle. If the Fed starts cutting, as we expect, it does ease a lot of the pressure on the commercial real estate market. So that's a good thing. And so far, small cap bank loss content in commercial real estate has been exceptionally low. So no material cracks for small cap banks yet. We do expect charge-offs to increase, particularly in office commercial real estate. But we just don't see signs of widespread systemic credit issues for a few reasons. First, we think banks have been relatively strong credit underwriters. Most of these loans have been underwritten at a mid-50s to 60% loan-to-value. So that means there's decent cushion for real estate prices to decline before banks even realize a loss. Diversity of loan type is also important. It's not just office CRE that banks are exposed to. In fact, a lot of banks have been de-emphasizing office. There are healthy asset classes that they're lending into within CRE. They have industrial, they have storage, they have retail, they have multifamily loans. So it's a pretty diverse group of loans. And the other element I'd point out about small caps is they're not financing those high-rise office towers in central business districts like San Francisco that have seen the most pricing pressure. Those loans are just way too big. Small cap banks are typically financing much smaller properties outside the major cities that have seen less volatility in price moves. So while we're definitely keeping a close eye on the commercial real estate market, at this point, we just don't see the risk as great to small cap banks as some of these headlines suggest. And in fact, we're getting incrementally more constructive on small cap banks. The group's relatively inexpensive. It's trading at 10 times 2025 earnings. And this is a 25% discount to its long-term average. And compared to the broader market, banks trade at an even steeper discount. So there's definitely scope for multiple expansion for banks from here. I also think we're much closer to a potential positive inflection in earnings revisions. Since the beginning of 2022, small cap bank earnings expectations have been revised down 25% for 2024. In a soft landing scenario, with an end to Fed hiking cycle, we should actually see these earnings revisions flip positive. Loan growth and fee income would improve. Net interest margins would improve. Credit quality would be stable. So all these are positives for earnings. We are mindful of the credit risk. We're not completely off the table yet. But in a soft landing scenario, banks would be a very good place to be, given you have that dual tailwind of multiple expansion and positive earnings revisions.
Very good, Jeff. Thank you. That's a very comprehensive review of the situation for U.S. small caps as we approach the end of the first quarter. We'll certainly be back to you for an update in the second quarter. It seems to be an exciting time for U.S. small caps, so we'll look forward to that. Thank you very much for joining me.
Great. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the time.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Talking Heads. If you'd like more information, please reach out to your BNP Paribas Asset Management contact or check out Viewpoint, our website for investment insights at viewpoint.bnpparibas-am.com. We recommend subscribing to Talking Heads on your favorite podcast channel. You'll receive your podcast episodes every Tuesday afternoon. If you like Talking Heads, leave us a positive review and a nice rating. You've been listening to the BNP Paribas Asset Management Talking Heads podcast with me, Andrew Craig, and Jeff Daly, Head of US Equities at BNP Paribas Asset Management's Boston office. Please do join us again next week. Until then, take care.
This presentation includes a discussion on current market events and is not intended as investment advice or an offer of products or services by BNP Paribas Asset Management. Please keep in mind that the information and analysis in this presentation is only current as of the publication date.